Turn with me to our Old Testament reading tonight, to the book of Psalms, to Psalm 100. Tonight we just begin a short two-sermon series on bold and confident worship, and we'll be looking at Psalm 100 both tonight and next Lord's Day. We'll be specifically focusing upon verses 1 through 3 tonight, and next week, Lord willing, looking at verses 4 through 5. As we prepare to hear God's word, let us pray together. Most faithful and most loving God, we come to you tonight again in prayer. We cry out to you because there is no one else who hears prayer. It is only you, the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-hearing God. And so we come to you as your children, as those who have faltered and failed, as those who need forgiveness and grace. We come to you as your children, loved, cared for, provided for. We come to acknowledge you as our God and Father, even in Jesus Christ, your Son. And we come, O Lord, desiring to draw near to you and to be exceedingly stunned by your grace again today. We thank you for this Sabbath day which you have given to us. We give you praise for the rest in body and soul which you provide to us, your people. And we thank you that you gather us even unto yourself to feed us, to equip us, to convict us, and to encourage us in our way. Lord, we do pray for the things of this week which are ahead. We think especially of Vacation Bible School, which begins tomorrow. And we ask, Father, that the more than 60 children who are signed up to participate in this, that you would be plowing their hearts and preparing it for the planting of the seed of the gospel. We ask that you would give direction to every word which is spoken, to all actions which are taken, and that, Lord, you would truly encourage those who serve in this capacity this week and to help with Vacation Bible School. So, Lord, may we know that it is a blessed thing to serve you in this way, to speak of the greatness of our Lord Jesus Christ and of your amazing grace. And so, Father, we pray that you would save sinners, that you would encourage saints, and that you would bring forth fruit even unto your glory and honor. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to serve both the covenant children of the church as well as those outside of the church whom you bring our way. And may we be found faithful as good stewards of you. And so, gracious Lord, answer our prayers and cause, O Lord, great honor to be brought unto you even through our labors this week. And Father, we now come to your word and we ask that you would equip us to worship you with boldness and confidence, even by this very word which you speak to us tonight. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 100, a psalm of thanksgiving. This is the word of God. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. What is your response to hearing God's word?
Amen.
Dear people of God, we recognize that in order to carry out certain tasks, you need to be equipped to do them. You can think of somebody who is a helicopter mechanic. You can't just throw that person out there on the tarmac and assume that he is going to know how to fix the helicopter or to do maintenance on the helicopter. He needs to be trained and he needs to be equipped in order to carry out that task. The same is true for the pharmacist at Shaw's, or the thoracic surgeon, or the CPA accountant, or the construction estimator, or the equipment operator. we realize that equipping is necessary in order to carry out various tasks and functions in our lives. And we know that there's a difference between somebody who goes through the motions in their work and somebody who makes their work sing. We can see that difference very plainly. And it is a very stark difference between those two approaches. And the one who is truly equipped to do his work well, to do her work well, is, as it were, one who has the opportunity to make that task sing. What about when it comes to our worship? What about when it comes to worshiping the one true and living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? There is no more important work that we do than to worship God Almighty. And it is not something which we can just go through the motions on. No, we need to be equipped to do that well. And God has given us His Word in order to equip us to worship Him with boldness and confidence. And He has given us particularly the book of Psalms to, as it were, stir us by His Spirit that we would worship Him aright. And so we come to Psalm 100 tonight, and we look at the opening three verses of this psalm as we see that the Lord equips His people to worship Him with boldness and confidence. The Lord equips you to worship Him with boldness and confidence. He does this, first of all, by giving us a fourfold command in verses 1 through 3. What are the commands? Well, the commands are simply this: shout, serve, come, know. Those are the four commands which we are here confronted with in these opening three verses. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. Here are the rapid fire four commands which God gives to us, which should shape and equip us to worship Him aright. Let's take just a moment to think about each of these words. Shout, make a joyful shout to the Lord. This is a word which is used, for example, in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 10, when the Israelites were commanded to shout when they surrounded Jericho and the walls came tumbling down. This is a word which is used, for example, in 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 5, where the camp of the Israelites shouted and the Philistines were struck with terror because of the shouting of God's people in confidence in their God. Or this again is a word which is used in 1 Samuel chapter 17 when David slays Goliath and the people shout in light of the victory over the enemy. And so God here tells us that our worship of Him is to be characterized by shouting like the blowing of trumpets, that we are with such boldness and confidence to come into His presence with the shout of victory, that our victory is found not in the works of our own hands, but in the work of none other than our great King, the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's a second commandment here, and that is serve. Serve the Lord with gladness. And even as we receive that command tonight from God, that we are to serve Him in our worship, we recognize that that places you and me in the position of a servant of the Lord, a servant of the Master. It's natural to serve oneself, but it's supernatural to serve the Lord. And when we think about this word and what it means, it doesn't only speak about our position as servants, it speaks about activity. Now, we can think about serving the Lord in a broad sense, and here perhaps a passage like Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 comes to mind with regard to the broad sense of serving God in worship. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service, your reasonable worship. Here that's speaking about all of life as worship characterized by serving the Lord. But also we can think about serving the Lord in a worship service. Isn't it interesting that we call this gathering tonight a worship service? We're here to serve God as His servants. We are here to serve Him in specific acts of worship. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means that we wait upon the Lord. That's the activity of a servant. The servant waits upon the will of his or her master. And so we gather together to serve the Lord, to wait upon the Lord, to wait upon the Lord in focused prayer, to wait upon the Lord with attentive listening, to wait upon the Lord with eager responsiveness, to wait upon the Lord with sacrificial giving, to wait upon the Lord with active receiving and intentional receiving, receiving what He gives to us so that we might go forth, we may go forth throughout the rest of the week to do what He tells us to do. And so we wait upon Him, and this is something in which we are to be engaged in actively, not merely passively going through the motions. And so we rightly call what we do here tonight a worship service. We wait upon our God. We wait upon Him in service. But what about the third commandment, which is here? Come before His presence with singing. Come literally before His face. Now there's something which is wonderful here that God tells us that in our worship, we draw near to Him, so close to Him that we look Him in the face. We are mindful, for example, that it was Moses who spoke face to face with the Lord. But think about the privilege that we all have in our great high priest to come before the face of the Lord, not to look upon Him as frowning on us, but smiling upon us. That we draw near to His face to commune with Him. Indeed, worship at its very heart is a meeting together with God. And so we shout, we serve, we come to meet with our great God in Jesus Christ, a meeting with God wherein He promises to inhabit our praises and to bless us. But there's one more command, and that you see in verse 3. Know that the Lord, He is God. Our worship is to be with understanding. We are to understand who we are. We are to understand who God has revealed Himself to be. We're to know what we are doing and why we're doing it. We're not to be ones who worship in ignorance, but we are to be ones who worship according to the truth. But knowledge doesn't just include cognitive understanding. It includes submission and acknowledgement, acknowledging God to be the only true God, that He has revealed Himself, and that we are to submit to Him as He has revealed Himself. And it is the Lord Jesus Christ who has revealed the Father in all fullness. He has revealed the Father to us. And so the Lord equips you and me to worship Him with boldness and confidence by giving us this fourfold command here in these opening verses in Psalm 100. Now, before moving to a second point, I want you to take note of the collective nature of these commands. They're all in the second person plural. That is, they're commands not to the individual, but they're commands to the collective body. Y'all shout, y'all serve, y'all come, you all know. Now, there's an emphasis here then upon corporate worship. It is true, we are to privately worship God each and every day. We are to worship God in our families as well. But we are particularly to see as the height of our expression of worship, our worship in the assembly. And what an assembly this is. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all the earth. It's a call to the universal church to, as it were, be cognizant that We are a part of the assembled body of Christ drawing near to God to shout and to serve Him as He has revealed Himself. And so, while we are called, as I said, to private worship, the climactic pinnacle expression of worship is experienced in the assembly. In the assembly of the saints. Now, this goes against the grain of American individualism. This idea that it's all about me, my Bible, and Jesus. Well, it is important that we have, it's critical that you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's non-negotiable. But the focus of the pinnacle, climactic expression of our worship is in the corporate assembly as the redeemed people of the Lord. One author put it this way, your joining in corporate worship service expresses your whole life service to the Lord. And so the church is not something which is expendable or optional. No, we gather together according to God's commandment on the Lord's day to meet with Him according to His promise. And we should be encouraged here as God gives us boldness and confidence to do what He commands us here in these verses. After all, who would presume to just, as it were, waltz into God's presence? Maybe the fool would. But you and I who recognize that we are creatures made by our Creator, creatures who are broken and sinful, it would be foolish to just waltz into God's presence. And yet God here tells us that we should with boldness and confidence draw near to Him according to His specific commands, which indeed find their fullness of expression in Jesus Christ, our great high priest. Think about it. If the Old Testament saint could worship God with boldness and confidence according to Psalm 100, how much more you and me now that Christ has come. What did we read in the book of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 10? Hebrews chapter 10 tells us that when we draw near to God in worship, collectively together as the assembled people of God, we don't draw near to copies. We don't draw near to a model that is patterned after the reality. We, now that Christ has come, we draw near to heaven itself. We indeed enter into the Holy of Holies in heaven. Therefore, brethren, Hebrews 10 verse 19, because we have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is His flesh, and because we have a high priest over the household of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. When Psalm 100 was originally written, you worshiped through the priest who was the descendant of Aaron. And you could draw near to God in no other way. And yet that drawing near to God through the priest who was the descendant of Aaron was through the blood of goats and bulls. And that high priest only could enter into the Holy of Holies one time every year with trembling and had to repeat it over and over and over again because satisfaction had not yet been fully paid. But now, Christ, having died once, our great high priest, He ever lives, and He, by His nail-pierced hand, He leads us into the very Holy of Holies in heaven, not with the blood of goats and bulls, but His own precious blood having sprinkled the mercy seat. Indeed, His flesh having been torn, the veil of the Holy of Holies having been rent, and we drawing near to God. Shout, serve, come, know. And so God tonight would equip you, would equip me to worship Him with boldness and confidence, even as He speaks to us through Psalm 100. And so He gives us a fourfold command. Secondly, He emphasizes a worshipful character He emphasizes a worshipful character as he equips you to worship him with boldness and confidence. Think about how this worshipful character is described here. You're not only to shout to the Lord, it is to be a joyful shout. It is to be a joyful shout, triumphant, jubilant, bursting forth of the voice, the thrill of the adrenaline rush. The victory is ours. This is the idea. Think about the whole theme of the book of Revelation, the theme of the book of Revelation, where we have the thunderous praise of God in heaven is we win. The victory is ours in Jesus Christ. And what should characterize then our worship is a joyful noise, a joyful shouting unto the Lord. And this is emphasized then in verse 2. Serve the Lord with what? With gladness. Not serve the Lord with cowering. Serve the Lord with gladness. He's not just our Lord and Master, but He is our gracious Lord and Master. And therefore, with gladness and with eagerness, we serve Him in worship. We serve Him in worship in the corporate assembly so that we might go forth and serve Him in every aspect of our callings throughout the rest of the week. And then look again. It says, come before His presence with what? Complaining, right? No, with singing. Come before Him with singing. It's almost the idea of a bow and arrow. You think about having a recurve bow, not a compound bow, but a recurve bow, all right? And you pull back the string and you feel the tension, because with a compound bow, the tension comes off when you pull back a certain part. But not with a recurve bow, you've got to hold it. You've got to hold it, and you feel the tension until finally you find the target and you release. And that's the idea here in verse 2. Come before His presence with singing. The bowstring is pulled back with anticipation and expectation. We release praise to God, for He is worthy. It is the ringing cry of praise. This is demonstrated for us in heaven, in Revelation chapter 5, in Revelation chapter 7, in Revelation chapter 19. And we participate in that worship as we gather together in the assembly of the saints to meet with our God. As Jesus promises, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them. And this is the character, what should characterize our worship. What does Psalm 122 and verse 1 say? I was glad when they said to Me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Are you glad? Or just here out of rote duty. Now we read of this joyful gladness and singing, which should characterize our worship of God. Does that mean there's no place for tears? No. Obviously, we have other passages of Scripture which further fill out our worship of God. But our penitential tears, as we repent before the Lord and find absolution in Jesus Christ's shed blood once and for all, our tears of repentance are turned to tears of joy. This is what God communicates to us, even as we come near to Him with this worshipful character. We're privileged. We're a privileged people with access into God's presence. We are a privileged people who have been admitted into God's service, that our persons and our services are accepted in Jesus Christ. Our imperfections are pitied. Our sins are pardoned. Our holy endeavors are rewarded and smiled upon. God has instituted and appointed ordinances for just this purpose, to stir us to joyful, glad, singing, robust praising of Him. This is why He's given us the ordinance of prayer and praise and preaching and the Lord's Supper, that we might taste and see that the Lord is good, that we might express we might express the new life that we have in Jesus Christ. Not the old doldrums, but the new life which is in Jesus Christ. And so God has given us the opportunity to do so daily, but especially on the Lord's Day. This means that we need to be prepared to gather together with the Lord. We need to prepare so that as we come, we are preparing by personal, private prayer, that we're asking God to increase and stoke our expectations and anticipations to make us eager to wait upon Him in service. What's the opposite of this character of worship? Well, the opposite would be coming in a moping, dejected way of drudgery. Oh, I've got to go to worship again. What a drag. My parents are dragging me to come to worship. Right? Oh, we've got to go to worship because we've got to set a good example for our children. Well, it may be true, and there are times, right, that we just move forward in our duty and we do it. But think of you serving in a moping, dejected way of drudgery. Or think of you having a servant who serves you in a moping, dejected way of drudgery. You'd rather not even have that servant, probably. Right? God wants us to come and meet with Him, not to sing a funeral dirge, but to have a foretaste of the wedding feast, which is to come. And this is characterized here in Psalm 100 with this fourfold command and this worshipful character, which God sets forth for us as He would equip you and me to worship Him with boldness and confidence in Jesus Christ. And this leads then to a last point tonight. As God equips you and me to worship Him with boldness and confidence, He does so by stirring us with a threefold motive. By stirring us with a threefold motive. God doesn't just give us bare commands. He doesn't just outline what worshipful character looks like, but He motivates us tonight. How does He motivate us? Well, it's in verse 3. Know that the Lord, He Himself is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. God says that we should be motivated by knowing three things. That He, Yahweh, Jehovah, the triune God, is the one true and only God. He and He alone is the great I Am. No other is the true God. Of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be the glory. He alone is worthy in and of Himself. He is the infinite God. What did we confess tonight, even using the words of the Westminster Confession of Faith? And all they are is culling various scripture passages. These words in the confession are just putting together a retinue of scripture passages. There is only one living and true God who is infinite in being and perfection. He is a most pure spirit, invisible, with neither body, parts, nor passive properties. He's unchangeable, boundless, eternal, and incomprehensible, almighty, most wise, most holy, most free, most absolute. He works all things according to the counsel of His will. Most gracious, most loving, most merciful, most long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, and He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. This is God. He's awesome. We may say that there are certain things in this world which are awesome. There's nothing in comparison to God which is awesome. He alone is awesome. He is awful. That is, He's full of awe. That is, we indeed, as we stand before Him, are filled with awe. And so here is a great motivation. that we would worship Him with boldness and confidence, that we would be a people who come, that we would be a people who serve, that we would be a people who shout, and we would be a people who know that God is worthy. Worthy of our worship, our best. And that we're eager to give it because of who He is. But God doesn't just motivate us with who He is, the one true and living God, but He motivates us by reminding us that He is our Creator and we are His creatures. That's what verse 3 says. Know that the Lord, He Himself is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We're not self-made men and women. God made us. God made you. God made me. And that means that we owe Him everything. Every breath we take is a gift from God. In Him we live and move and have our being. He sustains us and supports us. He appointed the day of our conception in our mother's womb, the day of our birth, and He has appointed the day of our death. He's our maker. He is our maker. And though some men live as if they made themselves, which is madness, we, I pray each one of you has come to know, to acknowledge that He made you. That He gave you your life. And here is a motive for worshiping Him. He is worthy because He's God. He's worthy because He has given you your life. And He's worthy because He has redeemed you. That's what verse 3 goes on to say, right? We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. You have reason to worship God with boldness and confidence, not just because He is God, not just because He is your maker, but because He is your redeemer. He has made you who once were not His people to be His people. He has made you who once were far off to be sheep underneath of the loving oversight of the Good Shepherd. Oh, yes, we are His people, bought with a price, chosen, not rejected, purchased, not passed over, included, not excluded, claimed His brand and His mark upon us. We are His people. We belong to Him by the purchase of Christ. The Father's love providing Christ, Christ shedding His blood willingly for us as the purchase price, and the Holy Spirit applying the work of Christ to us, and indeed indwelling us, then we cry out, Abba, Father. We are His people. And this should motivate us to worship with boldness and confidence. We are His flocked, counted one by one under the rod, cared for, fed, nourished, thirst quenched, hunger satisfied. We're nursed when we're sick, protected from danger, guided in paths of righteousness, corrected when we go astray, corralled and placed in His pasture, privileged with the best as He cares for us and knows us by name. What does Jesus say? My sheep hear My voice. Oh, and the Father hears the cries of His children. Oh, the Lord would motivate us. He would stir us with this threefold motive that He is God, that He is our Maker, that He is our Redeemer. And even as we come to a close tonight and think about how God equips you to worship Him with boldness and confidence, there's a great reminder in these three verses. Worship is God-centered. It's all about Him. Worship is not man-centered. The world wants to make everything about me, about you. Worship is about God. It is God-centered. It's all about Him. All focus is on the Lord. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. And so, do we desire a God-centered worship in which we worship with boldness and confidence, whereby we are equipped to worship Him heartily, not just to go through the motions, not to be dissatisfied with His worship or lackluster or lethargic in our worship, but to be a people who are stirred and equipped to worship like this. I'm reminded of Psalm 43 as we close. Psalm 43, verses 3, 4, and 5. The prayer of the psalmist, he prays under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And listen to this prayer. May this be your prayer. May this be my prayer as we close out this passage of Scripture tonight. Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Oh, may that be your prayer tonight in response to the Lord's word to you tonight as He equips you to worship Him with boldness and confidence in His Son by the power of the Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for this portion of your word, so clear, so straightforward, and yet so little applied, so little practiced by us. Forgive us, O Lord, where we have gone through the motions, where we have been tired and weary and focused on other things besides you. But you, Lord, open our eyes, stir our hearts, give us renewed wills to eagerly draw near to you in just this way. We thank you for the gift of the assembly of the saints. We thank you for our mingling our praise together with the angels and the spirits of just men made perfect in heaven. And we pray, our God, that we would be a people who eagerly seek your face and that we would enjoy you because you are indeed awesome. We pray all these things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.